Thank you, Brother Ken. Appreciate that good singing.
Yes,
talking about them mile markers. I grew up on a farm. I said, if you wasn't born on a farm, you ought to be born again. We go to the field of a morning, and Dad handed me the reins of that old horse. And you'd have to slap them reins to get him into the field. Coming in of an evening, no. And he wouldn't let me near them reins of that horse. That old horse knew he was headed home. Closer he got, the more apt he was to break into a run. Well, I looked at mile markers every once in a while. I get to want to break into a run, don't you? Hallelujah. Thank God for his presence in this place. I realize he's an omnipresent God. No place he ain't. David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. But there's some places he does not choose to manifest his presence. I had a woman come to me here a while back, and she said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't. She said, I was in a meeting all week last week. Where you is at? I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't remember you. You know why I didn't remember? She didn't do nothing. If she'd have done anything, I'd have remembered her. Now, I've been in some meetings that God just didn't choose to do nothing. But I'm glad for place there, manifestation of his wonderful presence in the place. That's all that matters, ain't it? Hallelujah. 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Don't turn there. We'll look someplace else in a minute. But I call this a storm chapter. And Bible said he constrained those disciples to get into the ship. He put them on board, didn't he? Out yonder in the sea, a great storm came up. And the Lord knew that storm was coming. The Bible said he came to them walking upon the water. If I could tonight transport myself back 2,000 years in time and visit one place in the New Testament more than any of the rest, I'd like to have been in that boat that evening and seen Jesus walking on that water. Hallelujah. And they're scared to death. Jesus said, be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. A boat full of water and him saying, don't be afraid. Storm like that raging, him saying, it is I, be not afraid. You know what he is saying? I'm here, and that's all that matters. Boat full of water, that don't matter. I'm here. Whatever the doctors told me, that don't matter. I'm here. I had a rheumatologist tell me about 3 months ago. He said some people wouldn't understand, but he said, I'm a saved Presbyterian. He said, there ain't much difference in us. I told Carol I was going to take him a video. And I said, what are you talking about, Doc? He said, the numbers say that that arthritis is still there, just as present as it's ever been. The numbers are just as high as they ever were. But here's the thing about it. I ain't got no symptoms. And something dawned on me. I mean, I still got that old carnal nature. Still there, just as big time as ever. But thank God I ain't got the symptoms. I want to go to church on Sunday instead of some of these other places. And that's what matters, ain't it? I'm here, and that's all that matters. By the way, did you ever take note of the fact the three crowds present on that occasion that we still got with us today? There was that crowd that heard about what went on out there in that boat. I'll guarantee you something that major didn't go untold. Them old boys told some people when they got shore. And there was that crowd that heard about it. And then there was that crowd that witnessed it. I mean, James and John and Bartholomew and that crowd, they sat in that boat and they watched what happened. But then there was old Peter. He got out of the boat. We still got the same crowd. All three of them. I mean, there'll be that crowd that hears about it. Then there'll be that crowd sat around and witnessed it. But then you got that crowd gets in on it. Gets out of the boat. I've had people ask me, Brother Ken said, why can't you stay in that pulpit? I mean, boy, I'm death on a cameraman. And I said, hey, I'm glad my pulpit's portable. Sit don't do no good sit in the back. I'll come where you at. Yes, sir. But I'll tell you what, it's hard for me to stay out of the middle of that crowd that's done got out of the boat. I want to get right back there in the middle of them, preacher. Amen. Yes, sir. I mean, something good going on for God, I want in on it, don't you? Yes, sir. All right, if you got a copy of the Word of God tonight, 146th Psalm, Psalm 146, physically able, I'll ask you to stand reverence the one who wrote the book. Psalm 146, beginning with verse number 7. And I like to pick up with the last phrase in verse number 7. Now, it ain't coincidental that this choir sung what they sung tonight. What about setting the prisoners free and opening eyes? The blind, no, God puts this thing together, don't he? Yes, sir. Last phrase, verse number 7, the Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. Boy, I feel it coming. The Lord loveth the righteous. Boy, I'm glad I'm part of that crowd, ain't you? Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. Father, I thank you, sir, for your word this time together in the tabernacle tonight. Lord, you look out of heaven's glory. You see beyond our faces. You see our heart and you know our need. Now I pray you speak to those needs and help us, Father, to respond accordingly. Thank you for your good presence in this place. Wonderful singing, prayer time. Dear God, what you want to do in answer to prayer. In Jesus' blessed name I do humbly pray. Amen. And you can be seated. The Lord, watch your Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah. One God in three persons. Yes, sir. Loose the prisoners. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widows. Five times, in these five phrases, it begins with the Lord, Jehovah. And five times in these phrases, we're told what he was doing. But not only what he was doing, I want to preach a little while, God being my helper on this subject, what the Lord's still doing. I'm glad I serve the unchanging God. Same God that David worshiped. Amen. That Abraham went into covenant with. By the way, the covenant still stands. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now, I don't know anything to do except jump in, amen, tonight, this portion of God's Word. And let's look at what he's still doing. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Now, I'm taking you into the Word of God and bear that out. God knows how many times. I mean, I see Israel back under. 400 years they've been down in Egypt land. But God heard their moans and God heard their groans and God sent a deliverer. Boy, Moses got there. And you know the story and how reluctant old Pharaoh was. But when God got done with him, he was begging him to leave, wasn't he? Yes, sir. And I see him out yonder, buddy, listen, on the march. Some way, somehow, if I could transport myself back in time and pull one of those Jews out of ranks and say, where are you headed? He'd say, I'm bound for the promised land. Amen. That's exactly where I'm going tonight. I am bound for the promised land, preacher. Amen. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. What made that possible, preacher? The Lord looseth the prisoner. The world looked at him and said it won't ever happen. But the Lord loosed the prisoner. Came to old Daniel and they said, you can't pray no more. In the name of your God. I said, I could hear old Daniel say, I'll have to pray about that. Well, you say, I know where it got him. Cast into the den of lions, yeah. But I just see him lay his head down the shaggy mane of one of them old lions and slept till the day dawned. I mean, that old ungodly king looked in there come morning and Daniel said, old king, live forever. What's he saying? He's saying, you ought to get saved, king. That's the only way you can live forever, preacher. Amen. Get right, God. That's what he's saying, wasn't it? I see him out yonder, free man. What made that possible? The Lord looseth the prisoners. Hallelujah. Old Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Some of you know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their ungodly Babylonian name. Hung on to Nebuchadnezzar and his crowd. Even they could change their name, but they couldn't change what was in their heart, could they? And them old boys, I said, I could see a preacher look at one another and say, hey, we ain't going to bow. We ain't going to bend. We ain't going to budge. And I don't think we're going to burn. Yeah, but look at them down yonder. I know they got thrown into the fiery furnace, but the fourth man was waiting on them. I preached a camp meeting years ago with old Brother Mays Jackson. And he said a little old boy come running to him after he preached on that one night and said, "Preacher, you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, but you didn't get the fourth man out." He said, "Why didn't you?" He said, "Quick as a flash, God give him an answer for that young'un." He said, "God left him in there so he'd be waiting on me and you, and we get throwed in." That's pretty good, ain't it? And man, they had a revival yonder in the fiery furnace. I mean, nothing but their bonds burned off of them. Amen. Right yonder free. Hallelujah. What made that possible, preacher? The Lord looseth the prisoner. I'm telling you, I know firsthand, brother. I sat third pew back, Unicoi Baptist Church. Boy, listen, one night as a little old boy, lost and undone, shackled by sin, bound by the devil, but the Lord, woo, looseth the prisoner. Amen. Jesus came to Unicoi that night. And I got loose, buddy. And I tell you what, you can sit around, I'll shout for all of us, bless God. I'm going to enjoy my freedom. Hallelujah, buddy. What a blessing tonight to be set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, I saw a picture of that one day where I hadn't looked at it before. 11th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And boy, Jesus sent those disciples after that little old donkey. He's got a job for him. You know what the job for that little old donkey is? To carry Jesus to the multitudes. Ain't that what God's expecting out of me and you? Ain't that the chore he's given us tonight? To carry Jesus to the multitude. But just anybody can't do that. Just anybody can't get Jesus to the multitude. Amen. Listen, the Bible has said here in the Gospel of Mark that that old donkey was tied by the door where two ways met. That's exactly where two ways met. That's a place of decision. He is tied. Yes, sir. Outside, by the way it's said. Ain't that where we is at without God? Now, he had other problems. I mean, according to Old Testament law, he is unclean. Any animal that didn't have a split hoof and chew the cud, Buddy Listen was unclean. And he didn't qualify on either count. Now listen, that hoof business, that's got to do with the outside. That cud business has got to do with the inside. He is unclean outside and inside. Ain't that exactly where me and you is at without God? I mean, unclean, buddy. Yes, sir, inside and outside. He's got a problem. Not only that, but the Bible said in Exodus 13 and verse 13 that the firstling of an ass had to have his neck broke. Unless somebody cared enough about him to sacrifice a lamb and he could live. Now, evidently, somebody had cared enough about this donkey to sacrifice a lamb, because he's tied yonder where two ways met, outside by the door. Somebody cared enough about him to give a lamb. Hallelujah. He had the death sentence hanging over him. I was born into this world with the death sentence hanging over me. But there's a Father in glory. Love me enough. Woo! Hallelujah! To sacrifice a lamb. Amen. And I've been redeemed, preacher. Yeah! Hallelujah to God tonight. Now here he is. Redeemed, evidently, I mean, somebody took care of that. But he's still tied. And them disciples said, "Now, Lord, what if somebody says something? I mean, donkeys wasn't giveaway in that day. And somebody did say something." Well, he said, "You just tell him the Lord hath need of him." So when somebody said something, "Why lose ye the coat? The Lord hath need of him." Huh? And that former owner had to take his hands off of him. Are you listening? At the word of the Lord. At the word of the Lord, that former owner had to take his hands off of him and set him free. So up, preacher, I shackled and tied. Listen, woo! But at the word of the Lord, my former owner, I belong to the devil, Scott. Amen. But my former owner, at the word of the Lord, had to take his slimy hands off of me, preacher, and set me free. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah to God tonight. Amen. Now not only is he redeemed, he's released. Woo! We ought to be the shout in this crowd this side of heaven tonight. Amen. Boy, either one of them himself be good, wouldn't it? Here we are, redeemed and released. Hallelujah. God cared enough about us. Give the best he had. Boy, I saw that in the book of Job one day and had a running fit. Bible said old Job, first chapter, fifth verse, got up every morning, rose up every morning, offered burnt offerings for him and his family. And he offered burnt sacrifice for himself, burnt offering for Ms. Job and for them little Jobs. And God had him fenced in. Yes, sir. Every morning offering, God hedged him about. Well, the devil said, "Hey, he's just living for he calls you so good. You don't know my servant Job. I'll take the hedge down. I'll open the gate, devil." Huh? Now here he is, a hedge down. Now, but them sacrifices is what kept the hedge up. Huh? What the first thing the devil went after when God laid down the fence? You know, that never had dawned on me one day. I just kind of visualized that he got his youngins and his house, his barns and his cattle and his sheep. No, he got them animals first before he got anything else. Huh? He's smart enough to know if he get them sacrificial animals, Job didn't have nothing to get the hedge back up with. And he had him then, buddy. He took them sacrificial animals. Now yonder sits old Job in the middle of an ash heap. Amen. Everything he's got taken away. Sitting there, boils on his body. Amen. Everything gone. 10 fresh graves out yonder on the hillside. A wife come by. Why don't you just curse God and die? Amen. And he didn't have a thing on earth to get the hedge up again. Boy, when I read it in the 42nd chapter, I had a fit. Yeah. About the 8th verse, God said, "Eliphaz, I'll deal with you later. Right now, I got a job for you. I want you to get down yonder to Job with 7 rams and 7 bullocks." Huh? What are you saying, preacher? When Job didn't have nothing to get the hedge up, God give him something. God give him a sacrifice. Amen. Well, so what, preacher? I was lost and undone without God. Couldn't do nothing about it. Amen. My mama couldn't help me. My daddy couldn't help me. My best friend couldn't help me. I was headed for hell. Couldn't do one thing about it. Didn't have nothing to get the hedge up with. And God sent a lamb. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Out of heaven's glory. glory, and the Lamb came, and you're looking at one headstand preacher tonight, mister. Glory to God. I'm telling you, the Lord looseth the prisoners. Hallelujah. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, openeth the eyes of the blind. Why is it people running by the thousands headlong toward hell tonight? They're blind. Yes, sir. I mean, we've lived down to generation church ain't important no more to people. I'm glad I grew up when I did. I'm glad I got to preach when I did, Ken. Yes, sir. I remember being in Carter County. 38 people walked the aisle one night. Their whole youth choir got saved. They didn't have a baptistry. They got a backhoe up there and dug a hole and put a tarpaulin in and had the fire department come fill it up with water and baptize 38 people. Been a long time, mister, since I saw something on that fashion. Church ain't important no more. Take it or leave it. Kind of thing. I worry about people claim they say won't go to church. They something the matter. Yeah, buddy. I mean, Jesus died for the church. He didn't die for the United Way. Jesus died for the church. It's the church that Jesus is coming after. I'm glad I'm a part. Woo, thank God of that crowd that the Lord's coming for. Amen. And buddy, the church is important to me. That man don't know why I worry about him. You know, one of my pet peeves, one of the things that agitates me quicker than anything on earth is that man that don't go to church but twice a month and won't tell me how to live. I had a preacher friend, one county away from this, called me here a while back and he said, "Brother Bob, I need some advice." He said, fell in our church comes two Sunday mornings a month and said when he comes to straighten us out and tell us what we ain't doing right. He said, "What would you advise me to do?" I said, "Run that sorry rascal off. Get rid of him." You see, that ain't half as mean. I've got a preacher friend. You talk about a tough pastor. Old Mitch, he's tough. Down in Spartanburg County, he said he had a family. Every time they brought up, you know, something to do to improve the church, that family leave till he got it paid for. And then said they'd come back just as soon as they heard it's paid for. He said they voted put new carpet in the church. And he said, sure enough, that fella takes family and he's gone. Left. He said they got it down, got it paid for. He said the Sunday morning came. Here he was coming out the sidewalk. And he said, I met him at the door. I said, where are you going? Well, preacher, I've come back. He said, you sorry rascal, you ain't walking on my carpet. You get your sorry hide out of here. You ain't walking on my carpet. Amen. And church just ain't important enough to a lot of people tonight. They need their eyes opened. Buddy, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, raiseth them that are bowed down. Now, don't tell me you don't ever get bowed down. I'll refuse to believe it. Boy, we all get bowed down from time to time. And I mean, sometimes I'm so bowed down, I said I even get road rage in the checkout line. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, "You carry a gun?" Well, I said, "Well, I know why." He said, "Someplace you preach ought to carry a gun." I said, "It would never do." I mean, I get bowed down, boy. Yes, and I found myself on Bowed Down Avenue. But I found out I don't have to reside there. I don't have to move in. Why not, preacher? The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. I mean, every once in a while I find myself praying, "Lord, get this old mean spirit off of me. I don't like it. I can't take it. Get it off of me and set me free." And boy, he'll lift you up. Hallelujah. Boy, you don't have to live on Bowed Down Avenue. Hallelujah. He'll jerk you out of that. "Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Get me out of this bowed down state, God." Well, he'll do it. The Lord raiseth them. I got some friends over in Carter County, Tennessee, just out of Elizabethton. They meet on Thursday night, a bunch of men going to the mountain to pray. And they've got a cleared off little old plateau. One night they had 300 men on that mountain a praying. And one of my preacher friends said, there's a young preacher going up the mountain with them one night to pray in place. And he came over and he said, "Brother, tell the rest not get mad at me. I can't pray with you tonight." He said, "I've got things going on in my life. I'm going to have to get alone with God." Yeah. And he said, "I'm going on up the mountain a little ways and pray by myself." He said they stopped off that little plateau. They cleared off to pray. That old boy kept going. He said they'd been a-praying about 5 minutes, and they heard him screaming, coming running off that mountain, and said, "He's a hollering, men, it's better higher up." It's better higher up. Woo! Boy, that's what I found. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's what I'm after tonight. I ain't satisfied, preacher. Lord God, I'm waiting on that meeting that's going to put all the rest of them to shame. Amen. That high ground, please. Boy, one of these days, I'm going to shout it out and wave the old red blood-stained banner on the highest hill, man. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, loveth the righteous. Don't you ever let the devil tell you ain't nobody loves you. Yes, sir. Thank God. The greatest truth. Listen, I had the privilege. My daddy took me to the city hall in Johnson City, Tennessee when I was a little old boy. And I sat and listened to Mordecai Ham. Scott preached the word of God. I sat and listened to Doc Lakin. When it seemed like I could see a halo hanging around that old man of God's head. I heard old R.G. Lee preach on heaven for the 1,000th time. That old man of God. He could speak a paragraph and alliterate every word. You talk about an eloquent preacher. I took a friend of mine, old brother, I heard he stepped with me and I was going to tape Dr. Lee preaching the 1,000th time on heaven. That message. All I got was hired shouting. I didn't get a thing on Dr. Lee saying. And I've heard them great men of God. But the greatest truth I ever learned in my life, I learned at my mama's knee. Jesus loves me. This I know. Hallelujah. Amen for the Bible. Tells me so. Boy, listen. The Lord loveth the righteous. Two of my grandsons are here tonight. I got four and one granddaughter. By the way, my wife, my daughter's back here tonight. Beth drove me over this evening. And I spend the day with them and the night. And old Peyton, he's a teenager now. He's a big old boy. He weighs almost as much as I do. I remember a little old boy. He's named after that Tennessee quarterback, Peyton Manning. So I only live a mile and a half in North Carolina off Tennessee line. And I named him Peyton. I've always called him P, and he calls me Pappy. And old Gabriel, he's a big old boy now, but we always called him Baby. He's still a baby, and I'm Pappy. And I remember an old Peyton, this little old fella, you know, about 3 year old. Christmas Day, and we was at Carolyn's mama's supper, and we ate, and it was a pretty day in the 60s in Unicoi County, Tennessee, that Christmas Day. And Carolyn's mama's cleaning up, you know, the table and washing dishes, and I took a little Peyton, a three-year-old boy, out, and they got an old big reservoir out in the field, Ken. I picked that little old boy up and set him up on that reservoir. I wasn't prepared for what happened. He looked me in the eye with a look I'd never seen out of a youngin', right straight in my eye, and he said, "Hallelujah, Pappy, hallelujah." I said, "Hallelujah, boy." I can't sing a lick. I got singing, boy. I said, "I'm going to be the best singer in heaven." Bible said, "The last shall be first." Yes, sir, I can't sing. I got singing. And that little old boy got shouting again. 3 year old. Hallelujah, Pappy. Hallelujah. Boy, I hollered for Carolyn. She came over, and I said, "I want you to hear something. I want you to see something." I said, "Sing for him." She said, "Somebody will hear me." I said, "Be worth it." Sing for him. She got singing, you know, this normal singing. I said, "No, he won't shout for just any kind of singing. It's got to be spiritual." Lord God, she got to putting something into it. That little old boy got shouting. "Hallelujah, Mimi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Mimi. Woo." Boy, and I got to cutting up again out in that pasture field, man. These here tonight, big old boy now. But back in them days, Ken, I'd say, "Come here, P. Let Pappy love you. I want to hug you. Come here, P." And he'd run. I said, "Hey, P, I want to love you. I want to hug you." Yeah. You know what? He'd holler back. "Me busy, Pappy. Me busy." Boy, every once in a while, we just get too busy to just get around an old altar and let God love us. Boy, sometime more than anything on earth, preachers, I just need God to put his arms around me. And I'm good for another mile, both for Jesus, if I'd feel his loving arms around me. I'm preaching to somebody right here tonight more than anything on earth needs getting this old altar and saying, "Dear God, I'm reporting for loving." Hallelujah. What a blessing. The Lord loveth the righteous. Boy, he can't get us still long enough sometimes to love on us. The Lord preserveth the strangers. Notice that word preserveth. Don't say pickled. Big difference being preserved and pickled. I've met some of them I believe got baptized in vinegar. They smile, it'd break their face. If you can't smile, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. Yes, sir, buddy. Strangers. Now, in biblical days, strangers were not tolerated. They was put out of town. Strangers was anything but appreciated. They got rid of them. Well, that's a long time ago. Don't kid yourself. We are pilgrims and what? Strangers in this old world. And the world still don't like us. They'd like to get rid of us. Huh? Yes, sir, buddy. If they could get by with it, they'd kill me and drag me off in the woods, buddy. Huh? Yes, sir. I had a woman come here a while back after service. She is mad as a hornet. And she said, I'll just tell you right now, I don't like your hollering. Well, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. Ma'am, I said, it ain't my hollering. It's what am I hollering you can't take. Yes, sir. And we're not going to be popular with this world, mister. They despise us. But did you know what? They're going to have to tolerate me. They're going to have to put up with me. I've been preserved. Woo! Hallelujah. They can't do nothing about it till God's done with me. They're going to have to bear with it, buddy, and put up with me for a while. Hallelujah. I've been preserved. Hallelujah. God says it's enough. Huh? My wife's here tonight. She'll tell you. You know, seeing what she's been through for 39 years and where we've been, I pity a pastor's wife. I take an offering. God puts it on my heart for him. Yes, sir. And... when they have to gather up food for a funeral, guess who has to take care of that and get on the phone? it comes a lot of these making sure flyers on the communion table on Sunday morning. That burden fell on my wife 39 years. She's done all that stuff. She and another lady was talking to some of the rest of the women, trying to get a meal together where there was a death to take into that home. You know what one woman told her? She said, I've done my part. Now let somebody else. I said, she better thank God she didn't say that to me. I've done my part. I want to ask you something. When you've done your part, why should God keep you around? What would be the point in God letting you stay around if you've done your part? Man, I ain't done my part yet. And when I feel like I've done my part, I'm going to holler, God, give me another part. I ain't got dying grace tonight, preacher. Amen, I'll give me another part. Amen, God ain't got no cause to keep you around if you've done your part. You sing that old song, Carry On for Jesus. Yes, sir. They just want to put up with me. Because I've been preserved. He didn't forget the fatherless and widow either, did he? He relieveth. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. Thank God I ain't part of that crowd no more.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm getting too old, how my world turned upside down. I couldn't take it these days. Yeah, I'm glad I got out of that crowd. Hey, this ain't just what God was doing in the psalmist day. This is what God's still doing. Come here, musicians, and play for me. Amen. You know which one? Last one, that church hymnal. Jesus, keep me near to the cross. I'll ask you to stand all over the tabernacle tonight. He openeth the eyes for the blind. Ain't you glad God opens your eyes? As they come, begin to play softly for me. Jesus, keep me near to the cross. You know, as a little old boy, I'd sit in that Baptist church. My parents. I'm glad I had a daddy believe in going to church. Hey, there wasn't no such thing as me saying, I don't believe I'll go today, Dad. I knew better than bring stuff like that up. And I believe as long as a youngin's eating your food, sitting at your table, sleeping in your bed, they ought to go to the house of God with you. But they, some of them, I mean, around 8, 9, 10 year olds. So I don't believe I'll go today. You didn't bring that up to my daddy. Somebody had to peel you off the wall, brother. If you'd brought some like that up to him. And I was in church. Matter of fact, I was taken to church 9 months before I discovered America. You can't fool me with church sayings. And I've been there all of my life. I'd sit there with my parents and they'd sing that old song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is come calling. Calling today. And I'd sit there as a little old boy and I'd think, what are they talking about? I don't hear nobody calling. Next Sunday, I softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I said, what are they talking about? I don't hear nothing. Nobody calling. April 16th, 1953. Third pew back, I found out what they're singing about. I heard his voice calling me home. Maybe calling you tonight. You hear lost and undone without God. What an opportune time it'd be. Couldn't give your heart to Jesus and your life to God. You'll never regret it. Boy, we've lived down almost to the midnight hour. Trumpets are going to sound. Look out, devil, I'm going home. Boy, you ain't going to have time to make no preparation. Better get that taken care of while you still have time. Lost friend, if I could, I'd crawl down that aisle for you, but it's a personal thing. But I'll tell you this. If you'll take the first step, he'll walk the rest of the way with you. Then there's somebody else. You say, Preacher Bob, I'm a child of God. I'm heaven bound. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to slip around that old altar tonight. Just let the Lord love on me for a little while. Boy, sometimes I'm going to eat that more than anything on earth. God bless you. God bless you, man. Hey, somebody out here needs to get in this old time altar prayer and thank the good Lord for opening your eyes. Somebody else come and thank him that he set you free. And that you've been redeemed and released. Just like that donkey under Old Testament law, we was born with the death sentence hanging over us. Unless somebody cared enough to sacrifice a lamb. Preacher Bob, I don't know about another. God bless you, sir. God bless you, honey. Preacher Bob, I don't know about another. And God's speaking to my heart. Come on to Jesus. Hear me well. We're going home. May not even be a personal need with you tonight. May be the need of another. You've got a loved one. More than anything, needs their eyes opened. You say, preacher, I'd just like to call her name tonight one more time this side of heaven. To God, God bless you. Sir, God bless you. Ma'am, God bless your heart. Boy, I'm glad I had a praying mama. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. God bless you, fellas. God bless you, honey. That's right. Come on to Jesus. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you for your honesty. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Hey, mama. Hey, daddy. If you knew this was the last time, last opportunity you'd ever have to pray for that boy, would you do it? If you knew this was the last opportunity you'd ever have to pray for that girl, that grandson, that girl, God bless you, sir. Hey, God sent me here today. It very well could be. God bless you, honey. God bless you, fellas. I don't know how God's speaking to you, but if he is, it's your invitation. It's your invitation. Come on to Jesus. Hey, we serve an active God. Every once in a while somebody said, preacher, why don't God do something? Buddy, God's doing something. God's got a plan, and that plan's coming together, beautifully coming together. When you see these things come to pass, and boy, they're coming to pass. Read today's newspaper. God said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. God bless you, honey. God bless you. God bless you. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel God in this place. God's allowed me, Ken, to make 25 trips to the island of Jamaica in my life. I remember years ago praying, 17-year-old Jamaican boy praying beside of me. And boy, he got to feeling what I began to feel all of a sudden. And you know what that young man got? I just quit and started listening to him. You know what that 17-year-old boy was saying? Welcome, sir, to the meeting. Welcome, sir, to the meeting. Boy, sometimes I just feel like pulling over. And amen. Said, welcome, sir, to the meeting. Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, but if he ain't made welcome, he'll go on down the road where he is and take you to the Word of God and show you. Cast them devils out of that gathering. That town crowd come running and said, you ain't welcome here. Jesus didn't argue. He got in that little boat and pushed off, and that crowd was waiting with arms outstretched when he got there. Father, I thank you, sir, for what you're doing for these my friends around this old-time altar. Lord, for your wonderful presence in this place. Every blessing of this day alone. Dear God, I pray you take us forth from this old tabernacle and use us to get Jesus to the multitudes. Thank you, dear God, for it. What we feel in our heart, blessed be your name. Jesus, wonderful, glorious, precious, strong name. Father, I do humbly pray. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.